Spirit or saint? A hero. An inspiration. She was courageous, brave, poised, and dignified. She was also a liar, a conspiring opportunist, a drunk, old enough girl who should have known better. Which one is it? Is it all just a matter of perspective and affiliation? Or is there an objective truth that we can discover and should proclaim? Sinner or saint? Saint Emmanuel, the good martyr, by the great Miguel de Unamuno. It's a book that comforted me when the night was too long and when I felt that daybreak would come. The central plot of the story goes like this. When an atheist named Lazaro approaches Father Emmanuel with a plan for converting the church into a headquarters for an agrarian syndicate, Father Emmanuel refuses on the grounds that the purpose of religion is not to influence or resolve political issues, it is meant to provide people the hope, if not the illusion, of eternal life. In a particularly revealing passage, this atheist, Lazaro, receives his first Holy Communion to the delight of his sister in the whole village. But when the sister talks to Emmanuel, she is saddened to learn that her brother did not undergo a religious conversion. Instead, he is merely pretending to adhere to the Catholic beliefs for the good of the village, the good of the people, at Emmanuel's request. What he does for Lazaro, this atheist, devotes the rest of his life to the health of the village, the church, and its people. Later, this priest, Emmanuel, confides to the sister that even he has experienced serious doubts, not only about the afterlife, but also regarding the very existence of God. Yet he has decided that it is morally responsible of him to encourage that his parishioners trust that immortality exists, since it is possible that it does, and good that it would. So despite his own doubts, or perhaps even because of them, Father Emmanuel executes his duties as a parish priest in exemplary fashion, and when he later dies, the church collective comes together and begins to view him posthumously as a saint. But sinner or saint? What do you think? Was Emmanuel a fraud? Was he an imposter? Was he a sinner and a liar as he peddled around the faith for others that he himself couldn't fully believe in? Or was he, perhaps even precisely because of that, selfless, virtuous, ethical, even say saint-like? Sinner or saint? Enter Esther. Here was a woman that we read in our text who was brave enough to stand before a king and condemn a man employed in his very royal company. This man, Haman, who had planned to not only hang Esther's cousin Mordecai, but also exterminate the entire Jewish populace. This man even enters the banquet hall and feasts alongside Esther as if nothing was off or fell. He even had the audacity to casually sip wine, which she had poured, while dining right next to her. It's as if he honestly and brazenly thinks that he is above all reproach and consequence. But then Esther just drops it and bomb on him. She stands up and calls him wicked, Haman by name. Then she petitions for her life and the life of her people to be saved. Just think about that courage for a second. For Haman was not only one of the king's chosen men, he was also so close to the king that he was able to persuade the king in chapters earlier to go along with this plan to annihilate the Jews. And yet, in both of these powerful male presences, the kings and Hamans, here is trying to soften the language. Some biblical text says try to soften the language and the insinuation. But when Haman, quote, throws himself down on the couch where Esther was reclining in verse 8, it seems to me at least that his intent is clear. Even the king, Haman's appointee, chose in common to say when he saw this despicable act, will this man even assault my queen in my presence, in my own house? So ultimately, if you're following along, an act of perfect irony, Haman is put to death by the king on the very same gallows that he had ready for Esther's cousin Mordecai. And so, by consequence, Esther saves herself, her cousin, and all the people from destruction, who would be forever memorialized and remembered as a celebration in the feasts of Purim. And what might think that after all of this, after all this courage and bravery, Esther would be revered throughout history. Both her character and personhood, as well as the biblical story and book itself, there would be songs and tributes continually offered in her name by all and all ways. But surprisingly, that isn't and wasn't always the case. For even though Esther risked her life, risked her well-being, and succeeded at securing the lives of many who would become, who would follow, of God's very people, some, even amongst Esther's own lineage, had found themselves entangled in the rest of the details about her life, such as some have critiqued Esther both her character and her book for never once mentioning God's name, and thus never adequately giving God the credit for the incredible turn of events. Some critics then bask that there are no prayers or sacrifices explicitly offered, or any mention of the temple or Jerusalem reported. It's as if Esther didn't know how she got there or to where she was going. Additionally, they say that Esther never seemed to follow or even acknowledge Jewish law, mainly because she eats non-kosher food, and she seems thoroughly assimilated into Gentile world. My friends, Esther eats and she assimilates. Can you imagine her audacity? One side says she risks and she saves, the other says she eats and she assimilates. One commenter on the Jewish Encyclopedia website told us, went as far to say this: Esther married a Gentile, and a very wicked one at that. So how faithful really was she to the Torah and to God, despite everything that she has done, positively speaking? There's clearly two different ways to look at history. Esther, sinner, or saint? Under Jesus, obviously, I think we all know the widely varying perspectives on Christ. Some say Jesus was a false prophet. Some say he was a mere figment of hopeful imaginations. Some say he was a sinner who worked on the Sabbath, who fiendishly exercised demons, who hung around with the great unwashed all too visibly and too often. Others of us say he was the Messiah, the Son of God, the Good Shepherd, even the preeminent saint. But let's put that aside for a certain moment today, are the words not so much about Christ, but the words he himself uses when educating the disciples in Mark's 9th chapter. First on the heels of bickering over who was the greatest amongst them, this time the disciples are seen condemning the efforts of sinful others because they have the audacity to heal. Yes, the disciples condemned others because other people went around to heal them. Because they did it by unsanctioned formula. And so the disciples bring their whining and their complaints to Jesus. Jesus, as I like to imagine, looks at them directly in the eyes and thinks, "You fools will just never understand, will you?" He basically asks them, "By what name did these others go around healing?" And they answer, "Well, by your name, I guess, Jesus." And Jesus again, as I like to imagine, says, what exactly is the problem here? Jesus simply and matter-of-factly tells them, whoever is not against us is for us. Or in other words, just let other people help people stupid. What difference does it make? What sin have they committed? Stop focusing on the insignificant and celebrate instead what they are achieving. Or would you rather these people see others in pain? Promptly leave because they have first come to us to ask permission for how to then proceed. We should be encouraging such selflessness, such inspiration, such courage, rather than being caught up in all the BS procedural red tape. These are not sinners. They're more like saints. Sinners are saints. And friends, when we so often fashion our own perspective as Torah, I think we would do well by remembering that our own perspective is often not. And so on that pleasant note on one's view and memory, I think we would all benefit to keep these points close to our hearts as we leave here today. One, God works through surprising ways and imperfect creatures all the time. Sinners are saints, and saints are sinners. None of us are perfect. All fall short, even the best of us. But that doesn't necessarily mean that all of us are the same, or that everything is equivalent. Some do appear to be better. Some are no doubt worse. Indeed, some are absolutely right, while others are just flat out wrong. Three. So there could very well be saints sitting amongst you right now. Sinners too. Yes, both of them right next to you, right here, in these pews. Outside in different shapes, outside in different colors. Yes, even red. Yes, even blue. Four. Esther never invoked the name of God, yet she seemed to accomplish a heck of a lot of good, didn't she? Just making them our friends of other faiths, or even those who have no faith at all, are capable of also accomplishing good. Yes, they too can be good. Five, for just because you live by a different formula or creed, that should not mean that you are worthy of reproach or to be condemned of heresy, especially if you are forming a young one. Especially if you are doing your civic duty, loving and caring for others before yourself. Six, and to that point, you know, helping others matters. Actually, it kind of matters a whole heck of a lot. It seems that we often deceive ourselves, believing that God's grace abounds so that we have to do nothing more in life than simply open our arms wide and say, yes, give me more, God, give me more. But doing and extending that grace in community and in fellowship to your neighbor and to the stranger, my friend, that is just as important, if not critical, if not the whole point. And finally, 9.7. Don't just do anything, though, if you please. Oh, no. Don't go putting a stumbling block before others, or be warned you will hang a very, very heavy millstone around your very neck. My friends, do good. Do good. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Fight for justice. Be kind, humble, and dignified in your approach. Risk everything for good. Risk even your own comforts for good. For the good of many, for the good of all. For only then will righteousness be vindicated by her deeds. For only then shall the truth, that is the objective truth, be opened and revealed to all. My friends, do good.